The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, where the drought is officially over, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. I think the drought's been over for several weeks, honey. We had a flooded basement. I'd say drought over.
That has been one of the reasons we've been a little bit distracted the last few weeks, and just now adjusting microphone levels here. We've reconfigured the bunker here, and I can see I'm already pegging the needle here.
Stop that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. That's not good.
You're on a new microphone. Yes, see, yes, that's the problem.
Yep.
Thank you very much to those of you who have helped us out over the many months, years, and so on. But some of you helped out recently and enabled us to buy a new microphone. And Derek's on the new microphone. I have his old microphone. See, my old microphone died.
Didn't quite die, but it was making a little bit of a hum.
Becoming buzzy.
Yeah, it was making a little bit of a hum.
And now I have your microphone, and I'm going to have a deeper voice and sing tenor in the Coles County Chorus.
That is a truly disturbing thing.
And grow a beard.
That would really be disturbing. So anyway, today is May the 27th of 2013. It is Memorial Day of 2013.
We sang the neatest song yesterday in our choir in honor of Memorial Day and all those who have served. And instead of, it has a patriotic idea to it, but it's really a Christian anthem, all about what we really believe.
Yeah, starts off with the lyrics, "I believe the new age is an old lie," coming from the
father of lies.
The father of deceivers, yeah.
Yeah, deceivers, yes. It's called Our Statement of Faith. Or my statement of faith. It is the best song, and it really is a doctrinal statement of all the basics.
Yeah.
And we wanted to get a copy of it to play during this PID radio, and we forgot. Mm. We ended up going to a meeting after church, and we totally forgot. So.
Yeah, but the meeting after church was interesting in and of itself, so we'll have more perhaps to say about that in weeks
ahead.
Vacation
Bible School, yeah.
Yeah, and and some other things, too, so.
Possibly.
But, it was kind of nice, a Memorial Day weekend service at a church that did not involve a series of patriotic hymns, which, we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
But, rather than beating that drum again, let us just say, if you've listened to PID Radio for the past 8 years, that we've very often commented on our disagreement with the way the military of the United States is deployed by elites to pursue goals that have nothing to do with the health and well-being of the American public or the world at large, basically to enrich the elites.
Yes.
Because war is a racket.
Yeah, they call it nation building when in fact it's actually setting up corporate, enclosures and sponsors.
Yes, opening new markets.
Opening new markets, that's a brilliant way of putting it. And that doesn't mean that you should not thank or appreciate anyone who chooses to serve. That is a valiant choice to make.
And, exactly my point.
And it is not the fault of the soldier in the field that our administration chooses, any administration chooses to do silly things with the military.
And, it's been that way for years and years. I've talked about that History of Rome podcast that I listened to and the death of the Roman Republic, or decline and fall of the Roman Republic, another podcast from the guy, Dan Carlin, who does the Hardcore History podcast. If you read those, you see that this kind of thing has been going on for a couple of millennia. This is not a relatively new thing that is confined to the United States. Roman senators were agitating for wars against places like Pergamum, which was a kingdom, not just a city. Because they were rich and there were lots of people there who needed to buy stuff. So Same reason the United States has had various adventures around the world in order to open new markets for Coca-Cola or United Fruit or whatever. I mean, I'm not singling out those companies specifically, but just using them as an example or as examples. Point being, it's not a new thing. Soldiers have been misused for the benefit of the wealthy for generations. But again, those who volunteer to serve, especially believing that their service is in the cause of liberty and allowing others in other lands to enjoy freedom, is a noble cause. And both you and I have had relatives that have served in the various branches of the United States military going back to the late 17th century. So,
oh, probably going back even further than that. Of course, the ones on my side, well, they were actually fighting each other. There were some on the Scottish side. There were some on the English side. There were Germans sneaking in around behind.
I've got ancestors from pretty much all of the branches that fought over the British Isles back in the day. You know, the Welsh, the Scots.
But the French. I don't have any Frenchies. Do you have Frenchies?
No Frenchies. Oh. So anyway, there have been a number of things since our last podcast, which was April 29th. Of course, the devastating tornadoes that hit Oklahoma, Moore, Oklahoma, very recently. It's difficult for people in a situation like that to see how God might allow something like that to happen. That's one of those things, you know, how do you justify, how do you explain to someone that in this world, bad things sometimes happen to good people?
You know, it's a simplistic answer, but the truth is that we live in a world where we each one of us has the freedom to choose. Every moment of every day, we are making choices. And sometimes those choices ennoble people around us. They help people around us. They make life better for people around us. And they glorify God. Sometimes those choices hurt people around us, and they do nothing to glorify God. Other times, the choices are simply out of our hands, and it's a supernatural event. Mm-hmm. I think the question, why would God, it wasn't a human choice, unless, of course, this was weather control. If that's what happened, if that's what has been happening throughout the world off and on, then that is a human event. But even then, someone may say, well, why would God allow that? Again, that's free will. But if this has nothing to do with human choice, then there are supernatural battles going on. And sometimes we get in the way and we get hurt. But other times we get hurt because God's trying to get our attention.
Yeah. The divine counsel concept that Mike Heiser and his research group teaches helps make more sense of events like this. If we understand that God has essentially turned the earth over temporarily to a coalition of rebellious fallen angels until Jesus Christ comes to reclaim the planet, then it's easier to understand why bad things happen. I mean, God has essentially, because of our sinful rebellious nature and the sin and rebellion that took place at the Tower of Babel incident, God said, okay, you 70 watchers will, you know, I'll divide the people groups up into 70 groups. If you read the Table of Nations in Genesis 10, you find that there are 70, and it's not a coincidence, according to Mike. It's a good theory. It makes sense. It holds together. It makes a lot more sense of tragedies that take place in this world. We are temporarily behind enemy lines. The enemy has temporary dominion over the planet. Within limits, God doesn't let them run rampant because the Holy Spirit still is present here on earth and still acts through us to achieve God's ends, as God is seeking to bring all who are lost to him. Not all will accept his free gift of salvation, but there are those who will. And through those of us who have, tragedies like this, can demonstrate the love of Christ to those around us by giving of time and treasure to help those in need.
And also suiting up, as Ephesians 6:12 tells us to do. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul lists the things that we have to wear every day. You know, helmet of salvation, that's first and foremost, because you're not a believer without salvation, but the breastplate of righteousness. And that's not something you just put on and you know, become a Christian today, this afternoon, I'll put on that righteousness. No, righteousness is a path we follow, but you put that breastplate on and it's protecting, you know, from, well, injury, frankly, to your heart. Mm. The shoes of shod with, I don't have it in front of me, but that's we also have the sword of the word of God, the sword of the Lord, and we are to pray. Right. I mean, we have weapons, but one of the foremost weapons is to get down on our knees and pray for other people. And sometimes it's, you know, I don't know what may be coming, Lord, but I just pray that you will protect those who trust in you and those that you are trying to reach. The enemy is trying to hurt many people throughout the world. It can be a general prayer. It can be specific. You know, my friend down the street, you know her name, and I will tell you, you know, her name is, you know, mm-hmm. Joe. Let's say it's Joe. Joanna is suffering from this today, and I just pray that you will. That's just an example. We don't have a neighbor named Joanna, but that I know of. The Lord wants to hear us specifically pray, and also pray in general for the entire world. But you're right. He allows things to happen according to his plan. And that's what the enemy doesn't get. Mm-hmm. Every little evil, you know, device that the enemy comes up with, they're only allowed to do it because it really just fits into God's plan for us. And the ultimate plan is to bring us to Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Yeah. And the difficulty is, again, it kind of absorbing that when you're one of the ones who's lost a child in a tragedy like the tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, or some of the bigger tragedies in terms of loss of life, like Hurricane Katrina or the tsunami that took place in Japan a couple of years ago, or the Indonesian tsunami of 2005. So there are just all kinds of, or 2006 it was, things out there that challenge us, and especially our blocks to the faith of believers, stumbling blocks to the faith of non-believers, can be stumbling blocks to the faith of believers too. You know, when you lose someone close to you, it's like, how mm-hmm. can God do this to me? But that indicates, and I recognize it's easier for me to say this, not having suffered that kind of tragedy, but it indicates just really an imperfect understanding of God's will and God's plan here on this earth. Now, again, I'll say again that I recognize that there are people listening, I'm sure, who have suffered much greater tragedy than I have. So it's easier for me to say that than it would be for someone else, I think. You know, Pastor had a really good message on this on Sunday, on trying to be steadfast in faith. And one of the things he talked about was being patient, that God operates on a much different scale of time than we do. We want things to happen right now. We want justice right now for things that have happened. God is not operating on our time scale.
Why not?
Yeah. Well,
no, I don't want to draw down. Yeah. I don't want to draw him down to my level. Well, please.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that skeptics don't recognize, is that by insisting that they be able to perfectly understand God, you know, I don't understand why God would do such and so, therefore God must not exist. Well, if you could understand God completely, it would be a very small God. It would look a lot like the face in your mirror. Now, I've seen the face in my mirror, and I know that ain't the face of God.
No.
Ephesians 6 is one of the greatest chapters in the New Testament, I think, with the breastplate of righteousness.
Read it, honey.
The belt of truth, starting with verse 14. Well, start with verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, writes the Apostle Paul, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So, yeah, that's a wonderful chapter. And of course, you know, we open every program with wrestling not against flesh and blood, which is the whole point of why we do this.
I was just picturing getting to heaven one day and actually getting to shake that man's hand.
That would be,
and, you know, and say thank you, because this is a verse that helped us, you know, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for giving it to you, for teaching you, for choosing you, for changing you, and you for living a life for Him, an imperfect life. Mm-hmm. We all do.
As He admitted.
Yeah.
The things that I want to do, I do not, and the things that I
would do, I do not do.
Yeah. So, definitely a fascinating.
Well, it's meat and potato stuff that a lot of Christians don't want to. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
And I just live a good life.
Yeah. You get to scale. You get to heaven, and they weigh you good versus bad in a scale. And if you're more good than bad, then you get in. No, that's not how it works. It's a pass fail. It's a one question exam, and the answer, it's a pass fail. You don't get graded on a curve.
Instead of the BMI, it's the GEI. It's the good evil index.
Yes, that's right. And the question is, who do you say that I am? Well, anyway. You know, a tragedy that has really twisted the UK all around and is really making people question what's going on over there is the story that came out earlier this week about the brutal attack on a member of the military there.
He wasn't even in uniform.
No, a young man named Lee Rigby, who was a drummer in the Royal Regiment of Fusiliers.
So how did these guys know he was a soldier?
They may have been staking him out. I don't know.
They said something about the content on his T-shirt set him off. At least that's what they were claiming.
Yeah, well, it's possible. But they ran him down with a car. And while he was lying there injured from the attack, I mean, they ran the car up on the sidewalk. It wasn't an accidental thing. They targeted him, ran him down, and then hacked him to death with knife and a meat cleaver.
How many guys? Two, three?
One was...
I've read so many reports, and it's really it's been difficult for me to figure out how many were in that initial group.
Well, according to a story I read this afternoon, they've arrested as many as 10 others or brought them in for questioning across the UK.
That's why I'm so confused by the number who were actually in on the attack. There were also heroic people and a couple of ladies, you know, local women who just were there and tried to talk these guys down, the killers, the attackers. They tried to talk them down.
Yeah.
Said, look, you're not going to hurt any. We're not going to let you hurt anybody. You know, just calm down. Just, you know, and just playing the hero.
Yeah. That took some guts when you're facing a guy who's just hacked a man to death in the middle of the street.
Standing there with a bloody knife. Yes. Yeah,
and blood on his hands. And he looked for somebody with a camera phone, one of the attackers, so that he could make a proclamation. And you may have seen the video. I've not looked for it because, frankly, I just don't want to watch it. But there's a video that's gone viral on the internet of this guy in the immediate aftermath of the attack.
Just running around. I watched one video that said it had graphic content, and I wondered after I watched it if the graphic content had been...
Scrubbed?
Scrubbed, yeah, because it didn't. It just looked to me like he was running from one car to the other, sort of waving his weapon and yelling.
Hmm. Well, again, as of today, Monday the 27th, 10 people have been brought in besides the three, I believe, that were arrested. The guy who was in the video,
the Nigerian,
and then there were a couple of other.
Abeloja or something?
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I don't have it in front of me. But I've read varying opinions on him as well. Early days, and this story's only about a week old, if that, this young man was reputed to have been a member, sort of an on and off again, unofficial member of a mosque. He had been going and listening to, learning to become a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And yet others say, no, we knew him really well. He was a nice Christian boy.
But trying to dig up the story now. I should have had this available. As we've switched things around here, we've got less desk space, so we're not using the laptops. We're using our tablets here to try
to... Yeah, exactly. I have my iPad, so I don't have all the stories. I do have my Twitter account, which is useless.
Michael Adebolajo, A-D-E-B-O-L-A-J-O. The thing that's disturbing about his story is that he was known to British security services. In fact, he was run out of... what was the deal here? He was known to have made contact with Al-Shabaab, I think, in Africa, which is why he was run out of the country there.
Well, who were the Tamarev? No.
Tsarnaev?
Tsarnaev brothers in contact with. Because after the fact, it came out, oh, they knew all about these guys. They knew that they'd been in contact with this former imam who, you know, was completely radicalized and mm-hmm. was radicalizing them, and yet nothing was done about these two brothers and the people that they are. You know, more and more people within their sphere of influence have been taken in for questioning or arrested. So is this a pattern now?
Or maybe we're just not as good about running off people we ought to run off than places like Chechnya or Kenya.
That may be why there are riots in the streets in the UK right now on both sides, Muslim and Christian, or non-Muslim.
Michael Adebolajo came to the attention of MI5 after he appeared in court in Kenya on suspicion of planning to fight for a terrorist group. The Mail on Sunday has learned, and I'm quoting from the article, he was arrested with five others in November 2010. All were said to have been heading for neighboring Somalia, where they'd been recruited by Al-Shabaab, the Islamist insurgent organization. Adebolajo, who was filmed after the Woolwich slaughter with blood on his hands, was deported from Kenya without being charged. So the Kenyans threw him out. MI5 knew about him, but because we're a tolerant Western society, apparently, or the UK is, he was allowed in, and now we see what has happened. I should say allegedly, but it's a little difficult to put that word in front of his name when he's filmed moments after the attack with the dead man's blood on his hands.
Yeah, it's hard to explain that one.
Yeah, that was part of the problem. Now, interestingly enough, the British authorities are also responding to this, to the rage in England against Muslims by arresting people who post inflammatory or anti-Muslim statements or anti-religious statements on Twitter or Facebook.
You know, I have to say that the events in Boston and the events in England, they seem to be, you know, you going to the same meme, Twitter, Facebook, any social media. This notion of being able to say whatever you want to, post whatever you want to, free speech. It's bad. Mm-hmm. Let's just get rid of it.
Yeah. So a number of arrests have been made. New York Times reporting that the arrests have come at the behest of British Muslims. And a detective in a statement to the press said three men arrested under the Public Order Act on suspicion of inciting racial or religious hatred.
Yeah. And if you do it on Twitter or Facebook, it's also inciting. In fact, if you say something that is offensive to someone else, you might just be called on the carpet. And that's my point. These events, as with many terrorist events, horrible events, are being used to press down further on our freedoms.
Yeah.
I mean, here we have a Memorial Day where you and I are talking about men and women who have served to keep us free. God gave us all mm-hmm. free will. God says every person has the freedom to do what he or she chooses to do. It doesn't mean that you should run out and do, you know, that's why he gave a list of things. Don't do these. I know you have free will, but here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you really, you know, think about other people first. Let's, and Jesus boiled it down to two.
Yeah.
Serve the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and
love your neighbor as
yourself.
Love
your neighbor. Yeah. Pretty easy.
Yeah. Love and love. And that pretty much sums it all up. He said, all the prophets and all the law hang on these two commandments.
Yeah.
And
your free will should work around those two.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody chooses it that way.
Well, that means you have to stop and think. Can't you just boil us down to a list of rules?
That's why we have to have the government coming down and telling us what we can and cannot do.
And the irony, well,
that's what
perhaps not
says.
The irony of this. Perhaps this is a part of the plan all along. This type of thought police action will actually just make things worse as people begin to say, hey, I can't even make a statement about what happened here, what these, and I'm going to use, mm-hmm. you know, verbiage that might be used, what these animals did to this young man in our street, and I can't complain about this. Now they're going to come and arrest me. That's pouring gasoline on it. It's going to make it worse.
Exactly. And that's the thing that David Duncan talked about years ago,
yes.
that we were going to be so backed into a corner that Christians would, you know, step out with one step and suddenly, see? They're evil. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to them. But it isn't just Christianity. I think many of us, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, you need to ask yourself whether or not the tight controls that the current administration, well, any country's administration at this point, are those tight controls in your best interest? Or are they in the best interest of the military-industrial complex? Would they rather that we just shut up and, you know, keep making widgets and buying widgets?
Yeah. Shut up and eat your peas.
Yeah.
To quote the president.
Let there be peas on earth.
Well, so that's going on, and that's a situation to watch. Vox Day, who I enjoy reading, he's a bit snarky, and he's definitely got more than a touch of intellectual arrogance. But he's
very, very
smart
bright.
Enough to get away with it.
Yeah.
He said that the situation in the UK brought to mind for him a poem that I'd not read before. I'm not as well read as I ought to be. Written by Rudyard Kipling, called Norman and Saxon, in which Kipling, writing from the perspective of a Norman baron, who, and of course, the Normans came over and took over England after the Battle of Hastings in 1066, basically telling his son to rule over the Saxons, but do it with a light hand, because they're not very serious. Yeah, they'll poach some game from your lands and they'll drink a lot, but if you start to mistreat them and treat them unfairly, they will eventually rise up like a cloud of hornets and be round your ears. And we may be starting to see that, not just in the UK, but also in Sweden, where similar things have been happening. 6 nights in a row now of violence in Sweden. And as with the uprisings in Paris a few years ago, you really have to read into the articles a bit to find out that this is being that it's mainly in Muslim neighborhoods where this is happening, north of Stockholm, south of Stockholm, and ongoing. And there are those within Sweden whose Viking blood is being riled, and there may be a backlash coming as the open and tolerant and multicultural societies of Europe find that the longtime residents of those nations aren't quite as multiculti as the elites like to think they are. So there are some tensions simmering in the UK, in Europe, and I would not be surprised to see more of that here. As so, you know, we've talked for some years about this and talked with those who've done research into the Balkanization of the United States.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, no need to fear. John McCain is here.
Da, da, da. Yeah, he's managed to sneak across the border from Turkey into Syria, and he met with the Syrian rebels.
Did he actually strike any kind of deal with the Syrian rebels?
I don't know what kind of a deal John McCain would be authorized to negotiate.
John McCain makes surprise visit to rebels in Syria.
The first thing I thought of was, hey, great, this could work out for us just as well as Libya.
Oh,
because,
that's bad.
Well, because it's no secret that the anti-government rebels in Syria is comprised of in large part of people affiliated with Al-Qaeda, with
well, the talk
radical
is that
Islamic
this,
groups.
Early on, the talk was that this was an extension of the Arab Spring. The plan being, who was it? Wesley Clark,
yeah.
Who? Well, boy, I wish we had that soundbite. He revealed something years ago, saying it was going to be Iraq, and then it was going to be Syria, and I think he had it out of order from the way it's actually taken place.
Mm-hmm.
But listing all the same nations,
yeah.
that are sort of being knocked over.
And it was the road to Persia was ultimately the goal,
right?
Yeah. Well, it could really be a bad situation. According to some reports, there are Russian military advisors assisting President Assad in Syria.
Yes.
Iran has military folks inside the country. Hezbollah is now fighting on the side of President Assad. According to a report I read while I was walking Sam, which is where I get most of my reading done.
That's when he gets most of his reading done.
Exactly,
too.
Yeah, it's kind of a different sort of thing. You know, dogs, they go, you know, sniffing a fire hydrant. That's sort of like reading the blog posts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Says, oh, okay. Fluffy was here.
Man, I don't believe he said that about me.
A strongly worded response. But Hezbollah has taken over the fight around the area of Homs, which is a city that has been sort of a hub for rebel activity for quite some time during this revolution. But the point being, if you've got the Russians and the Iranians and Hezbollah representing the dominant power faction in Lebanon as part of the fight in Syria, if we start arming the Syrians or doing what John McCain argues, John McCain is really suggesting the United States needs to take a more direct role in the conflict.
Well, your first question, should we start arming the Syrians? You mean the rebels?
The rebels.
How can we prove we're not?
Well, just maybe we just need...
We're totally not. We're not. So there.
Yeah, we...
Because the truth is that many of the military actions over the last few decades have not been... even going back to Vietnam, they don't begin with boots on the ground. Official boots on the ground, or mm-hmm. even planes in the air.
Right.
Or even these days, drones in the air. They sometimes begin with advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And along with advisors through a back door come other means of support.
Right. That's how we started in Vietnam, is sending military advisors.
Exactly.
I just don't see any really, any good outcome in Syria. I mean... Obviously, the administration, the regime of President Assad has not been a good one for certain segments of the population in Syria. But, as with Iraq, if you take the strong man out of the picture, or Egypt even, with Mubarak, mm-hmm. you take the strong man out of the picture, and you've got a group of squabbling factions that rise to the top, and you get even more people.
Who's in charge in Libya?
We don't know, but certainly... whoever is in charge isn't capable of protecting...
Keeping a U.S. ambassador from being killed.
Right. Which, by the way, that was an interesting little... venture that the ambassador was on. Stevens was his name?
Yes.
Because it appears that his mission to... his mission to Benghazi was there to buy back weapons that the United States had supplied to the rebels against Muammar Gaddafi that then turned out to be affiliated with Al-Qaeda. So it's like,
I see.
This was...
And if this goes bad, we'll just pull out and say we have nothing to do with it.
Right, yeah. Former diplomats inform, and of course this is, Pajamas Media? Yeah, Pajamas Media. What a dumb name.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, Ambassador Chris Stevens was actually doing in Benghazi, and the pressure put on General Carter Ham, then in command of U.S. Africa Command, AFRICOM, therefore responsible for Libya, not to act to protect jeopardized U.S. personnel. Stevens' mission in Benghazi, they will say, and this is a report about what sources would tell the House Investigative Committee, or the Senate committee that was looking into the Benghazi incident. Stevens' mission in Benghazi, they will say, was to buy back Stinger missiles from Al-Qaeda groups issued to them by the State Department, not by the CIA. Such a mission would usually be a CIA effort, but the intelligence agency had opposed the idea because of the high risk involved in arming insurgents, in air quotes, with powerful weapons that endanger civilian aircraft. Somebody's thinking. Hillary Clinton still wanted to proceed because, in part, as one of the diplomats said, she wanted, quote, to overthrow Gaddafi on the cheap, end quote. This left Stevens in the position of having to clean up the scandalous enterprise when it became clear that the insurgents actually were Al-Qaeda. Indeed, in the view of one of the diplomats, the same group that attacked the consulate and ended up killing Stevens.
Hmm.
Yeah. The former diplomat who spoke with PJ Media regarded the whole enterprise as totally amateurish, and likened it to the Mike Nichols film Charlie Wilson's War, about a clueless congressman who supplies stingers to the Afghan guerrillas. Quote, "It's as if Hillary and the others just watched that movie and said, hey, let's do that," the diplomat said. So, and again, gets back to what we opened the show with. Our military folk who volunteer to serve, and many of those in the intelligence communities too, serve because
they believe it's the right,
thing to do. That the freedom that we enjoy in the United States, even though it's not as all inclusive as we thought it once was, is still the best deal on the planet and worth defending. And then you've got people like Hillary Clinton wanting to, quote, overthrow Gaddafi on the cheap, end quote, by arming someone else and then having to send somebody like Christopher Stevens and the others who died with him to clean up her mess. If you've not, go back into the...
If she does run in 2016, that is so going to haunt her.
It should.
Everything she has said will be played over and over again, unless some deal is struck with the Republican Party.
Yes, exactly. Because there are things that...
they don't want.
Yes, there's things that President Obama has done that I really thought that the Republicans would jump on, and they have not. Not at least to the extent that I thought they would.
You know, the reason I keep scrolling through these stories on this 360 news program is because when I first looked on here a few minutes ago, there was a story about drones being used to patrol railroad. Was a railroad overpasses for graffiti artists? I kid you not. And now I can't find it. It's as if they pulled the story.
Jesus.
It's just totally disappeared. But I think that that's sort of what we're moving to.
Sure.
Law enforcement, private companies, because there are private drones out there too. They are not just government-owned drones. We have private companies that buy these drones, and there could be things whizzing all over our heads.
Yeah, we'll run these for you for a fee, just like the private contractors that set up those red light cameras.
Yes. and you know, seriously, I mean, for those people who are in the community of sky watchers who are watching for UFOs, you know, I think many of the UFOs over the last few decades have indeed been secret aircraft, but now they might be drones, and they could have been even prototype, thank you very much, drones a couple of decades ago. I mean, they're not new. They've been around for a while. They've just gotten really small, and now they're armed to the teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the deeper we get into the 21st century, the more you begin to see that the worlds portrayed in movies like Minority Report and Eagle Eye are a lot closer to reality than we would have liked to think.
Yeah. Why can't the world be like this? Have a building that looks like a fish. Is that a friendly building or what?
Big fish-shaped office building in India.
Yeah, see, we're not evil. We're a fish. Giant fish sculpture in Barcelona.
Speaking of drones, by the way, you notice there's a press conference that President Obama had a week and a half or so ago.
Thursday?
Yeah, when he said,
we did the nose on the drone.
Yeah, we did the nose. We're going to scale back the drone programs because, it doesn't always work as well as we would like. Oh, yeah, and by the way, we did kill 4 Americans with our drones. This was about a week ago, published in the New York Times, May 22nd. And that was sort of buried in the article. You had to look to page 2 to the article to see, at least page 2 in the online version, to see that. But, it's good that they are scaling back in the drone program, because even though the United States government has said that the number of civilians killed in drone strikes, which you presume being civilians would be, accidental, was in the single digits, there are independent media groups that have tallied the numbers based on reports coming from other parts of the world and have come up with much, much higher numbers. And again, the 3 other Americans that were killed that the United States has now admitted to killing, other than Anwar al-Awlaki, were accidental. So including Samir Khan and Mr. Awlaki's son, who died in another strike.
Oh, that's and again, right. I'd forgotten about
they
that
weren't,
one.
They weren't targeted. Yeah, Alaki's teenage son was killed in a drone strike. So yes, the government says we're going to scale back on the drones. Oh, yeah, and by the way, we've been killing Americans. This is one of the things I thought Republicans would really squall about, because from a constitutional standpoint, this is absolutely not allowed under the United States Constitution.
Yeah, they're kind of hoping they have the leverage to use drones if they have to
right
down the road.
Well, sure, exactly. That's exactly the reason that they haven't done it. And even Rand Paul, who was the darling of the Tea Party movement and still is probably the most popular member of the Senate amongst the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party, kind of backed off and said, well, you know, if a guy's coming out of a liquor store with $50, I don't have a problem with the drone taking him out. Excuse me? Hello? What? yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And then later okay. He said, okay, misspoke, but still, that, yeah.
We better test that Kool-Aid you're drinking there, Rand.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I've been all, since I can't find the drone story, I'm now looking under the topic science, and 520 scientists sign a statement on maintaining humanity's life support systems in the 21st century.
Maintaining life support systems in the 21st century.
Yeah, studying the interaction of people with the rest of the biosphere. You know, the life support system of Mother Earth.
Uh-huh.
Which gets me to this, what is the ad that I keep seeing on Hulu about a legal firm that is representing Earth because Mother Nature needs a good lawyer?
Right, right, yeah.
What?
Wesley J. Smith has been writing about this as part of his series on human exceptionalism
mm-hmm.
and the attacks on human exceptionalism.
Yeah, it's a great series.
Yes. Suing on behalf of rivers, on behalf of animals.
Yes.
Because they can't speak for themselves. But we're going to file suit because you violated the civil rights of mm-hmm. this
and
river.
And the great thing is because, well, honestly, we're suing on behalf of the whales, but they don't have a checking account or anything like that.
Right.
They don't even have, you know, investments or a financial advisor. So we're going to do all that for them and totally, totally invest what we get out of this lawsuit for them, really.
Yeah.
Now, we'll be the ones who administer these accounts. And just because we are suddenly building really nice houses doesn't mean that those whales didn't get at least something good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's bizarre, but this is the direction we're going.
It's where it's all going. It's like selling bridges on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the story about the big explosion on the moon?
Yeah, I did.
So, who's blowing up stuff on the moon?
Well, no doubt that's one of our secret bases.
Is it that little Looney Tunes character, you know, the
Marvin?
One? Yeah, Marvin. Oh, well, it's Martian.
Well, yeah, but, you know, he's got to set up a forward base. It's probably Strax, the Suntaran. <who's>,
Strax, Doctor Who reference.
The Doctor Who episode, yeah, where he's at the moon. Should we attack it?
You know, going back to science, and actually is related to Strax because he's actually a clone.
Yeah.
There is a group of actual practicing scientists who are sort of spearheading a movement to promote at-home scientific research. Genetics mm-hmm. at home.
Well, it's good for
I'm
Johnny
just sort
to have
of
a hobby.
Yeah, little Johnny. He's been hacking, you know, the turtle's genome, and
mm-hmm.
the turtle not only glows now, which he did in kindergarten, but now, you know, the turtle also has retro rockets. He's never gone faster. That hair, I was so surprised.
Gamera then, is really neat.
The hair has three heads yeah. now, so it does. Yes. That's such a bad idea because there are software programs. I'm going to be talking about this when we are in Colorado.
Yeah.
Intent. That I'm talking about how dangerous it is because there are so many software programs and private companies that will sell you all the stuff that you need to biohack at home.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
And if there are kits out there to do it at home, no doubt that there are enterprising people of dubious medical qualifications who are selling their services to the rich and famous to hack their genome to mm-hmm. Give them longer life and preserve their looks. And
it's the new snake oil.
Yeah, exactly.
Know, there are companies out there already that are selling, you know, genetic snake oil.
Right.
Hey, I can not only make you younger, I can take you back to, you know, the youngest days, and you're never going to age.
We'll turn
you're
back
always going to look 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll reverse the telomerase chain degradation.
Exactly. And if it doesn't work, then come back, because it probably has something to do with your genome, and we better touch you again.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it isn't our fault.
Speaking of Wesley J. Smith.
You can try to find him once you bought it.
Yeah, exactly. He has been writing a series of pieces on a new tactic from those within the genetic community that want to clone humans, want to legalize the cloning of humans. They are claiming now that through a new technique where they take a skin cell and implant the nucleus from a skin cell into an egg, that they can then harvest stem cells without creating an embryo. It's like, no, wait a second. You created an embryo. If the egg is now, what's the process where it begins dividing?
Fertilization?
Well, it's not fertilized in the sense that a sperm has fertilized it, but they've basically tricked the egg into thinking it's fertilized.
So doesn't matter. The egg thinks it, then it begins,
Cell division and turns into a blastocyst.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what they're doing is lying by putting the skin cell into the egg and getting the egg to begin to divide. They have, in fact, created an embryo.
Yeah.
And then they kill it in order to harvest the embryonic stem cells. That was the whole objection, or the main objection, to the debate in Missouri when we were back there in Columbia, 2006 and 2007. And the Stowers Institute in Kansas City?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Laid out millions and millions of dollars. I mean, it was revealed that over 95% of the money going into a PAC supporting Amendment 2, which would have enshrined embryonic stem cell research or cloning in the Missouri state constitution, was coming from James and Virginia Stowers of the Stowers Institute.
And, you know, kudos to you, honey, because you spoke out about that almost every day when that was going on.
Wesley J. Smith was an extremely valuable guest on that program when I was hosting the show. Unfortunately, the bill passed, the Constitution was amended. Now, I don't believe anything has really progressed much beyond that point, because it wasn't long after the change went into effect in the Constitution that the economy tanked. And they still have not gotten past the point where when you do research with embryonic stem cells, which is legal, you can still, you just can't, because President Bush allowed stem cells to continue to be created from a certain stem cell line that was already in existence.
It was very fudgy language.
Yeah. You cannot, they've not figured out a way to do any medical applications on the test animals without creating cancerous lesions.
Exactly. That's the problem with it. And that's this whole, you know, snake oil stuff of, we're going to turn on the telomerase gene and you're suddenly going to go young. No, you're probably going to have cancer cells.
Yeah.
So
the cells don't know when to quit growing.
It's adult stem cells that work.
Right. But in order to get past the legal issues, the legal hurdles in many states and nations around the world. This is coming from places like Germany, where human cloning is illegal. In most of the United States, human cloning is illegal. In fact, might be the whole United States. Forgive me for not knowing specifically. But the point is,
they're not going to use the word clone. It's going to be something else.
That's Wesley Smith's point. They are trying to sell it as not cloning. This isn't cloning. We've got a new process whereby we artificially trick the egg into beginning to produce the embryonic stem cells. Well, that means you've got an embryo. They've already created the clone.
Well, that's like George Bush saying when he was running for office, I don't believe in nation building. And he went right out and started nation building.
Nation, right. Or John Kerry saying, I voted against it.
But he called it something else.
Yeah, I voted against it before I voted for it.
We've got to pass this bill so we can read it.
Yeah, so watch for that. And again, if you don't read the Human Exceptionalism blog, Wesley J. Smith's blog at National Review Online, you should, because it's excellent. And he's bringing up things that really aren't being covered much of anywhere else, at least not in journals that average folk like I can read, you know. So,
do you ever wonder when you're talking if this moment is somehow entangled with a moment in the past or in the future? And because it's entangled with the past, maybe what you're saying isn't what you're saying at all.
Oh, déjà vu.
Oh.
I was going to. The weird thing is, my brain was entangled with yours.
It was.
Right there.
Well, they've often been entangled with each other. It's a mess, but, you know.
Don't go there. Too much TMI.
Entangled bears. From different time streams. The Wibbly Wobbly Way.
From the latest album, Love Songs for Geeks.
cue the strings. Oh, dear.
Yeah, this was an interesting article that Wired put out this past week, wired.com.
That's a great site. You should bookmark that. Read Wired every day. Yeah. Also read Den of Geek.
Yes, Den of Geek is great, too.
IO9.
Yeah, but
geeks.
We haven't talked much about entangled pairs, but we've got a friend who is a very smart gentleman who was on the he claims to have worked for no such agency.
I know.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. But was also a science advisor to the president. Was it Carter? I think it was President Carter. Well, anyway,
was it Carter?
But anyway,
you're talking about Chuck.
Yeah. And he wrote a...
could have even been Nixon. I don't know.
Somewhere back in that time, but...
Because he started doing some of the stuff at JPL back in the 50s?
Yeah.
40s, 50s?
Yeah. After Jack Parsons had shuffled off this mortal coil and learned the truth. But he wrote a wickedly creative short story, at least the start of a story, based on the quantum physics principle of entangled pairs, which basically says that if you've got a photon, let me see if I can explain this in a way, because I barely understand it myself.
Photon A here in the United States, photon B in India.
Or anywhere in the universe, essentially.
And if you change photon A in the United States, it's automatically changed in India.
Yeah, the pair is exactly the opposite. If you know the state of photon A, which can either be a what is it? It's either a wave or it's a what's the other? It's either a particle or it's a wave, one or the other. And but you don't know which until you observe it. Isn't that the Heisenberg uncertainty principle?
Yes. Yeah,
you don't know what it is until you actually look. It's like, you know, the cat in the box, Schrodinger's cat. It's either alive or dead.
Cat.
Yeah. But when you observe the one photon, its entangled pair, which can be anywhere in the universe, is the other state.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, that's weird. That is really weird. Well, according to Wired, physicists now know or have demonstrated through an experiment, the guys at the University of Bristol, that they don't even have to be, these photons don't even need to exist in the same time.
Right.
So if you observe a photon here today in 2013, a photon existing somewhere else, a million years in the future or in the past or wherever. Not that I believe there was a million years of past history, but the point being that it can exist at any time somewhere. There's an entangled photon to this photon. And you now know that wherever it is, it's the opposite state from the one you're looking at.
You know, I'm going to write to him and ask him if he's finished that short story. I don't know if it was a short story or a novella because he had various chapters to it. It was called Time Camera and, wonderful, wonderful, inventive writing, the kind of stuff you get from the Twilight Zone, because in a way, he had a time camera as well, Rod Serling's story, and Chuck's isn't based on this at all. It's a totally different concept. But remember the episode in the Twilight Zone where this really old box camera was discovered, and they take pictures, and the picture would pop out, and it would be of something in the future.
Yeah, just a few minutes ahead.
Uh-huh.
And once they figure out what's going on with it, then, of course, complications ensue.
Because they're evil, so they have to die.
Exactly. According to television rules of the 1960s, they had to die.
If only.
So, I see the part in the article. Photons are either polarized vertically or horizontally, and they're essentially both at the same time until you observe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's when you lock it into that state, and then the entangled photon, whenever or wherever it is the opposite. And this is just... bizarre. And my first thought was, well, you know, what if you're talking about the theory of relativity, the principle that somebody traveling, a space traveler moving at light speed, ages more slowly than someone else? Would the theory of relativity to play into this, where it's not the same time relative to where you are, but somewhere in space? They said, no. The relativity has nothing to do with it. Somewhere else, somewhere else, it's like, okay, head explode.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say something, and I'm saying this to you, Derek. this may not actually make it to the final cut of this show because, of course, we're not doing this live. I just found this story, and it's called Physicists Explain Quantum Computing in Song. I've got to hear this, and if it turns out to be really good, we'll insert a better version of it because I'm going to listen to it now.
We have an exceptionally weird theory called quantum electrodynamics.
Computer power doubles every 18 months.
Zeros and ones, zeros, zeros and ones.
Quantum computers compute on individual atoms. Sometimes one, sometimes zero, sometimes any number in between zero and one.
I think this may be worth putting in, or at least linking to the video. Who's got this? Pando Daily has it.
Pando Daily.
Yeah, but it's probably a YouTube video.
Well, we'll definitely put a link to that in there. Yeah, I mean, this is just so mind-blowing and fascinating. But the thing is, this is the kind of thing that New Agers seize on. And say,
I just tweeted it, so you can find it on my Twitter account.
During the show.
I tweeted during the show.
Yeah, but because the pair is entangled, because the pair is entangled, you're getting the tweet exactly as you hear this, even though we've recorded this.
And the thing is, I'm not even sure if you're getting the tweet that I tweeted.
Oh.
It may be
a retweet?
Tweet.
Yeah.
Just tweet backwards.
So anyway, this is the kind of thing that New Agers will seize on and say, you know, this just proves that mind over matter. You can just think and wish on something, and you can change the state of something by, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, the gift or the secret or whatever, the various...
the butterfly effect or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's more
that
of an... Yeah.
Crazy stuff. But I do think... we were talking about this yesterday, and I said, you know, to me, it just proves all the more that God is truly in command because he sees all outcomes of every choice you and I make in our lives, everybody who's ever lived.
Yeah, everywhere.
He sees it all at the same time.
Every when.
And unlike Doctor Who, I won't say the name of the doctor. I won't give that away. Unless he oftentimes is portrayed as someone who really does think he's God because he says, well, you know, God, we all know he's not there. But he acts like he is.
Right.
Well, the real God, Jehovah God, the creator who made everything, made all of us, he really can hear everything that's going on all at the same time. He really can know everything that's going on at the same time. He really did make everything. He made every one of those little entangled pairs. And he knows exactly how they're spinning at every moment of time.
Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of work that Chuck Missler does when he starts looking at the very delicate balance of the various component parts of the universe. If anything were off by even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent in terms of, you know, say, the weight of a photon or the weight of the nucleus of an atom, the universe would either implode or fly apart. And he looks at that and suggests that that is evidence of a creator and the creator as defined by the lines of scripture. And I think sadly those who criticize Chuck Missler for tackling the new age misuse of science to put forth these mind over matter heresies are missing the point.
He doesn't advocate those things.
Absolutely
he
not.
He stands firmly against those things.
Exactly. So that is yeah, just one of those stories that caught both of our attention this week. The whole photon entangled pair anywhere in time thing. Okay, weird. And one final thing, just speaking of Doctor Who, article out today, a new book, reviewing a new book by a number of academics, so-called academics, who are making the case that Doctor Who is, in their words, thunderingly racist.
Well, name any show. Yeah. Especially one that started in the 50s or 60s.
Well, I think that they're looking for something to just tag onto the 50th anniversary year of Doctor Who and make a few bucks, because it's ridiculous.
You think? Oh, apparently we're done. Sam's head just poked out.
Speciesist, maybe. Well, except maybe for Captain Jack, but not racist.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's that? That's
He's
a
never
poodle.
Had a dachshund on the show.
Well, that's just wrong, and we need to protest.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, while we take care of that. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, I think. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.